in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made home. Thirsted hard as iron, water like the stone. So had fallen snow on snow, snow. In the bleak midwinter, long, long ago, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. But his mother only in her maiden bliss worshipped the beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. And if I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give him? Give my heart. What can I give him? Give my heart.
Amen. Good evening. Welcome to Asbury and welcome to our Hanging of the Green service. I'm thankful that you're here, that you found your way over from the Wilson Activity Center. We're going to see if we can do this on a full stomach. We're thankful that you're here, and if you're joining us online, thank you for being with us tonight. Just a few announcements before we get started. If you were here this morning, these are going to sound similar, but repetition is always a good thing. On December 11th, we have a special music service here in the sanctuary, and that evening at 4 p.m., we will have our children's program, which is called A Super Christmas. So we hope that you're able to make both of those. On the 18th, we will have our special music service in the launch. On the 16th at 7:30 p.m., Hendricks College Choir will be here for their Candlelight Carol service. And then also, just a reminder, today is the last day for the family-to-family boxes. And so for all of you that have participated in that, we are so thankful for that and that we were able to give that to the community. We're not going to shift gears to collecting for Stone Soup, and so we are looking to collect winter apparel, and you'll see one box right outside the sanctuary. There's two downstairs, and we'll be collecting those until our next Stone Soup mission, which is Christmas Day, and we hope that you can join us for that. And as always, check your Asbury 5 Things email for upcoming events, especially during this Advent season. I now invite you to stand and join me in our call to worship. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be raised above the hill. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths."
Please continue to stand as we share our invitation responsively. How can we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the King? With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the Eternal Christ? With garlands of wreaths of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, our Savior? With arrangements of holly and ivy, symbolizing his passion, death, and resurrection. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God? By hearing again the words of the prophets who foretold the saving work of God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All glory to God in the highest. You may be seated, and Susan Gillet will now come to share our first scripture reading.
Jeremiah 23:5-6. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line, and he will rule as a wise king. He will do what is just and right in the land. During his lifetime, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And his name will be the Lord is our righteousness." In ancient times, the cedar was revered as the tree of royalty. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. We decorate our sanctuary with evergreens as a sign of Christ, who reigns as King forever, and whose coming in justice and righteousness will purify our hearts. The Advent wreath is a vivid symbol of preparation. The lighting of a new candle each of the 4 weeks before Christmas reminds us that something is happening, but more is yet to come. The circle of evergreens reminds us of the everlasting covenant offered in the birth of Jesus. The four candles symbolize hope, peace, joy, and love. Today, we light the first candle as a symbol of Christ, our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way to salvation. Please stand as we sing, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Amen. You may be seated. The prophet declares a child will be born. This is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. And authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be a vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. Because the needles of the pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang wreaths of evergreens shaped in a circle, which itself has no end, to signify the eternal reign of Jesus the Christ. Please stand again. Wait, not yet. Please stand. We're going to sing. Seven.
Isaiah 43 through 5. A voice is crying out, clear the Lord's way in the desert, make level a highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain very plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth hath commanded it. We place the Advent pyramids, which are blue, a royal color, to remind us of the King of Kings who came to be the light of the world.
Four Servant Song, the scripture lesson from Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who can believe what we have heard, and for whose sake has the Lord's arm been revealed? He grew up like a young plant before us, like a root from dry ground. He possessed no splendid form for us to see, no desirable appearance. He was despised and avoided by others, a man who suffered, who knew sickness well, like someone from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we didn't think about him. It was certainly our sickness that he carried and our sufferings that he bore, but we thought him afflicted, struck down by God, and tormented. He was pierced because of our rebellions and crushed because of our crimes. He bore the punishment that made us whole. By his wounds, we are healed. Like sheep, we have all wandered away, each going its own way, but the Lord let fall on him all our crimes. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggested the crown of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. As we hang the holly and the ivy, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. Bears a blossom as white as the lily flower, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to be our sweet Savior. The holly bears a berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ for to do us sinners good. Bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. As bitter as any gall, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ for to redeem us all. The holly and the ivy as pure as any blood, when they are both full grown, of all the trees in the wood. Messed up those words.
Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12, the fourth servant song. After his deep anguish, he will see light and he will be satisfied. Through his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous and will bear their guilt. Therefore, I will give him a share with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. In return for exposing his life to death and being numbered with rebels, though he carried the sin of many and pleaded on behalf of those who rebelled. Every part of the Christmas poinsettia symbolizes an important aspect of the life of Christ, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. The star-shaped formation of the leaves represents the star that guided the wise men on their long journey to Bethlehem for one purpose, to worship a king. The crown of flowers reminds us that this baby was born to be a king, not just for a time, but for all time. The blood-red leaves foreshadow the cruelty of his death, but the leafy green carpet beneath the crimson leaves reminds us that the power of death has been abolished, and we can celebrate his victorious resurrection. Jesus is more than just our king. He is our Savior, and the hope that we have in him is reflected in this flower of the holy night. Please stand as we sing Deck the Halls, which is printed in the bulletin.
Marcy Hall and her grandchildren are going to help us put some chrismons on the tree, but while they're getting up here, I'm going to give you just a little bit of history. The word chrismon is a combination of the words Christ and monogram, and has been adopted to refer to Christmas tree ornaments that have been developed to display symbols of Christ. Frances Kipps Spencer was born to missionary parents in Japan, and her father was a Lutheran minister. In 1957, at the age of 40, she was concerned about having appropriate decorations for the Christmas tree at her church, and she made the first chrismon ornaments for the Ascension Lutheran Church in Danville, Virginia. Through this church, patterns were made available, and the idea of having a chrismon tree spread. Based on ancient monograms, the designs included Greek symbol abbreviations and crosses that honored Jesus Christ and his teachings. Mrs. Spencer chose the white and gold colors to represent Christ's purity and God's majesty. The evergreen tree backdrop symbolizes the eternal life Christ offers his followers. The tree's white lights proclaim Christ's role as the light of the world. And here at Asbury, the first chrismon tree was started at the first location, 12th and Schiller, in the late 1960s to early 1970s by the youth group. And at the time, Becky Burgess was the youth director, and I learned from Becky that the youth group made the beaded chrismons that we still use today and have on our tree. The crown was always on the top of the tree and made by Johnny Hogue, whose parents, John and Pinky Hogue, were in the Robert Moore class and very active in Asbury. Becky said the youth spent many hours feeding all of the chrismons, and they were made over a number of years. And she also added that the boys enjoyed beating as much as the girls did. During this time, they used a real tree, and after Christmas, the trunk of the tree was made into a cross, which stood bare on a table in the entrance of the Sunday school department until Easter, at which time it was wrapped with flowers symbolic of new life and the risen Christ. The cross-stitched chrismons that are also on our tree were done by the Altar Guild in 2012 under the leadership of Pat Anderson, and 24 members of the church participated in the cross-stitching. So our first ornament that we're going to put on is the Chi Rho and Alpha and Omega. Chi Rho, the XP, is the Greek symbol for Christ and are the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. Chi Rho and Alpha and Omega together represent Christ along with Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And the second one is the triquetra and circle. The endless circle suggests eternity. The triquetra, the figure composed of three separate and equal arcs, symbolize the one God who showed himself to man in three separate and distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the next one is the fish, representing the Savior, was used as a sign by early Christians. The IXOIC is Greek for Jesus Christ, God's Son, and spells the Greek word fish. And the next one is the crown, which symbolizes the kingship of Christ and his victory over sin and death, the King of Kings. And the last one is the butterfly, which symbolizes the resurrection and life everlasting for the believer. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel according to John. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, we light the chrismon tree. During this Advent, wherever you see a lighted Christmas tree, remember the one who brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him. I now invite you to remain standing and sing along with the carol, O Christmas Tree, which is printed in your bulletin.
Thank you.
thank you so much for coming tonight. I want to say a special word of appreciation to the Altar Guild, especially to Kathy and Pat, who you saw tonight, also our readers, also the Altar Guild folks and their, well, there were spouses and friends involved in this process too, I think, but who decorated the sanctuary and also the WAC. Let's give them a sign of our appreciation as well. And I always like to, you know, teach just a little bit, and just remember that the chi in the Chi-Rho symbol is the X in Xmas, and it's one of the oldest abbreviations for Christ that we have. So if somebody says that they're taking the Christ out of Christmas, that's just not true. Amen? Ellie, you can correct them. I promise you that's true. So let's join together in our benediction, which is printed in our bulletin tonight. Go forth from this place an awakened people, aware of the world's darkness, yet reaching for the light. We see God at work in our world, and that makes all the difference. Go forth from this place an expectant people, conscious of judgment in our midst, yet welcoming God's new order and justice. We welcome God's new day, believing that Christ will set us free. Go forth from this place a serving people, sensing anew the pain so many bear, yet confident God will bring healing even through you. We open ourselves as channels of God's grace, for we have heard the good news, and we have been empowered to share it. Amen.